Ears and to hear from the Lord. So we're going to think about guidance tonight and answering the question, does God guide today? And that's a question that is answered, and I hope to answer it tonight and to show you how the Lord does guide today. So we sang on Sunday, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," as our closing, thinking about those words of that hymn, and we'll do so in prayer. So let's pray. Father, guide me as we sing. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we sing that hymn and we just fly through the words and we don't really think about the words. And yet here tonight, we are reminded that you are a God who guides. And though we live in a wilderness, a spiritual wilderness, a barren land, you are the God who we can look to and we can find our guidance in. And we thank you that you do light up for us the path that we should take, that you do show us when we look to you the decisions that we should make. And we pray tonight that as we look at your word, that we will sense how that happens and the methods that you use. And Father, we pray that we might be open to just living with more expectation than maybe we all do already. And Father, we confess that we are weak and we need your strength. We confess that we are unwise and we need your wisdom. We confess, Lord, that we are hungry and we need you to fill us. We confess that we are thirsty and we need you, Lord, to give us something to drink. Lord, we pray tonight that we might know just that sense of being fed, that sense of being watered, that sense, Heavenly Father, of meeting with you in a body of people as we are spaced out, as we are met in this large building, but nevertheless, we pray that we might meet with you. And Father, we ask that in this time together, that there will be a touch of your Spirit upon each of our lives. So hear us as we pray and ask these things through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 again, where we were on Sunday morning. And I just want to return to two verses, which I didn't mention on Sunday morning, but which give us a good introduction to where we're going tonight. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and reading verses 12 and 13. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, and he's describing some of his journeyings, but here he talks about guidance that he received and just how the Lord used that to direct his path. So 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, this is God's word. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. Let me read that again. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. Amen. Now, I want you to notice just in passing this evening as we consider that, we often hear people say today and use that expression that the Lord has opened a door for me and therefore I should go through that door. And yet here is Paul describing how in Troas the Lord opened a door for him, but he didn't go through the door. Here was an opportunity for him, but he says in verse 13, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there, so I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. So we often hear that expression, if the Lord has opened a door, go through it. And yet here is Paul not going through a door. And I just want to use that this evening as a way into this passage of Scripture. We can sometimes get into these, use these phrases, and we sometimes maybe don't think too much. And here we have a door opened, but there was no peace in his heart or in his mind. And so he actually didn't go through the door. But let's go back to Acts chapter 16, just for one other passage of Scripture tonight. And again, this sense of being guided through circumstances and being guided through just his own mind. So Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Again, the Apostle Paul, Acts 16 and verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So notice there at the end of verse 6, they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Well, surely preaching the word was what he was about. Surely that's why Paul had been sent. Yet here is the Spirit of God stopping him from preaching the word in that particular place. And then they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia in verse 7, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Surely to go to a place where there was no gospel, that would be the Lord's will for them, but no. The Spirit would not allow them. So, verse 8, they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, verse 9, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they've been stopped from going to two places. Now a third place opens up to them. There's a vision, and in verse 10, they concluded. They thought this through. In other words, they thought about it, how the Lord had been directing them, and therefore they concluded that the Lord wanted them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. So tonight, as we think about God guiding, and it is important that we do think about God guiding us, because all of us, we face choices day and daily. There's really unimportant choices that we don't have to pray about. You don't have to pray about whether you're going to wear red socks in the morning or blue socks or green socks or white socks. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to pray about whether you're going to have cornflakes or porridge for your breakfast. You don't have to pray about that. But there are decisions that we do know are bigger decisions, and we should be praying about them. If you're at school or college, what subjects would the Lord have you to study? If you're leaving school, what job should you apply for? And if you're offered two, which of them should you take? If you're considering a relationship with someone of the opposite sex, well, is that the right thing? Is this the right person? Is this what the Lord wants? Or if you're thinking about where to move house to, or should you move house at all, you should be seeking the Lord for guidance. Or maybe you sense the Lord is calling you to ministry or to missionary work or to some full-time role in the kingdom of God. Well, that's something we ought to be praying about. Or maybe it's trying to find the right word for someone who's in distress. Lord, what should I say here? I don't know what to say. Or maybe you've got come into a bit of money, well, how to spend that money? Or maybe there's been a row in the family, how can I get involved here to reconcile these parties? Or how can I be a better husband or a better wife or a better son or a better daughter? And pray, Lord, guide me. How can I be a better husband, wife, son, daughter, whatever? These are decisions that we ought to be praying about. There's other decisions we don't need to pray about. You know, whether you should love your neighbor or not, it's not a decision you should pray about, because the Bible says you should love your neighbor. You don't need to pray about whether you should be a witness to Christ or not, because you shall be my witnesses, said the Lord Jesus Christ. There's certain words of Scripture that are clear. But tonight now I'm thinking about the decisions that, what should I do here? So let me just give you three ways in which the Lord guides us. First of all, through the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are really crucial as we're seeking guidance from the Lord. Of course, there's a wrong way to do it. You know the joke, I kind of hope it's a joke, where someone just got their Bible and they opened it when they were praying about what to do. And the verse said, Judas went and hung himself. So they thought, don't like that verse. So they closed their Bible and opened it again randomly, and they got the verse, go thou and do likewise. You know, if you just open your Bible hoping for a random word, it's really not the way to be seeking guidance. Guidance comes out of an ongoing walk with the Lord, keeping close to the Lord. We thought last week about Jesus resisting temptation in the wilderness, and how three times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus knew the Scriptures. And they guided him in how to respond to temptation. And there are so many promises in the Bible. Proverbs 3, for example, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He'll direct your paths. You're at the airport, if you drive past the airport in Aldergrove, you drive past the end of the runway and there's all the lights lit up. They light up the path for the planes coming in. Well, the Lord will direct your paths. He'll show you the way to go. Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Jesus said, his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. Proverbs 16, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And Psalm 48, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. So the Scriptures promise guidance. And then as we are walking with the Lord and reading the Scriptures and asking the Lord to show us, the Scriptures are key as we expect him to guide us through his word. Someone has said, a Christian is someone who throws themselves with absolute confidence on a living Lord who will guide them. When Charles Spurgeon was a very young man, he was doing a good bit of preaching. And he was considering, he hadn't had a very extensive education, he was considering going to Bible college. Was that the right thing for him? People were saying he needed more education, and he was a bit of a country yokel at the start of his time. And when he went up to London, people laughed at him because of his accent, and he obviously hadn't been to the proper schools, if you know what I mean. And Spurgeon was mulling over one day whether he should go to Bible college or not. People were trying to get him to because he showed so much promise. And he was out for a walk across a common, and the little verse flashed into his mind from Jeremiah 45, verse 5. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. A word that was used for Jeremiah's scribe, who was considering things in his life, and Jeremiah's scribe was told, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. And that verse of Scripture, as it flashed into Spurgeon's mind, convinced him, Bible college isn't for me. And he never went to Bible college. So the Lord guides us through the Scriptures, and we could give many, many, many other examples of people being guided through the Scriptures. I remember years ago being at the Faith Mission convention in Bangor, Easter convention, and there was a little girl, Faith Mission pilgrim, giving her testimony and how she was now at the Faith Mission College, and she had read Revelation 3 verse 8, see, I have placed before you an open door which no one can shut. And she took that as the Lord told us in her testimony how the Lord had sent her to the college, and that open door she had gone through, and now she was a pilgrim at their college. So the Lord guided her through scriptures. He guided to go through to Bible college, but Spurgeon, he showed not to go to Bible college, through a different scripture. The Lord can say yes, the Lord can say no. So that takes me on then. Yes, he guides through scriptures, but he also guides through circumstances. And it's not, these are not either or, they're all both and this, and then there's a third thing I'm going to come to as well. Circumstances. If you drive into town, you will come to traffic lights, the dreaded traffic lights in Ballymoney. How long do you sit at them? You always fear, don't you, when you come to those traffic lights going in from this direction. Sometimes you can sit for a long time, but the lights are up for a reason. They're up for safety. Red means stop, green means go, amber means maybe, maybe not. And the government puts up those road signs for safety. Stop, go, maybe, maybe not. And the Lord, if governments do that, earthly governments do that, then the Lord's government is the same. Through circumstances, he gives us green lights or red lights or amber lights. Saul, for example, son of Kish, in 1 Samuel 10, was told to expect three signs. He was uncertain whether he wanted to be king or not, so the Lord said, well, you're going to be down at Rachel's tomb before long, and two men will tell you where the lost donkeys are. So he went near Rachel's tomb, and there was two men, and they said, you're looking for the donkeys? They're over in such and such a place. Then the Lord said, there are three men are going to be going to Bethel. They're going to have three goats, three loaves, and one skin of wine, and they're going to offer you two loaves. And they did. And then when you come to a Philistine outpost, prophets are going to come and the Spirit's going to come upon you, and that'll be another sign that you're the man, you're the one. Three random events, yet as each of those happened, they were convincing Saul that he was getting green light after green light after green light. A cynic, of course, might say it was coincidence. But I remember hearing someone once say, well, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't pray, they don't. If you're looking for the Lord to guide you, and it's his will, he will give you green lights or red lights or amber lights to wait. God can also use hard circumstances to guide us. Joseph, for example, was accused of sexual assault, and he was thrown into prison. It was a very dark time in Joseph's life, and yet because he met palace officials in prison, the prison, as someone has said, was God's highway to the palace. God guided him through that hard time, eventually to be in the palace. Other hard circumstances, a missionary might go out to some foreign place and be going great guns for the Lord, and then their health breaks down. And they return home and maybe have a different ministry at home than they were having abroad. But it was the Lord using that health breakdown in order to guide them through circumstances. Or maybe someone, their parent becomes ill and they need nursed at home. And many of the missionaries come home from the mission field in order to do that. That was the Lord's will for their lives. When we're seeking guidance, all of us have to read the circumstances of our lives and to recognize that God sometimes uses hard circumstances. He sometimes uses us when we're going through hard times and it's maybe just too much for us, things we're doing, and we need to give them up. God uses different circumstances, and sometimes he gives us an opportunity that we never dreamed would be offered. And when we're praying about it and seeking the Lord, well, that's the Lord's will. I'm going to give it a go. Remember Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 being taking over from Moses. Who would have wanted to take over from Moses? The Lord saying, I'll be with you. Don't let this word of the law depart from your mouth. Day and night keep it with you, and I'll be with you. And Joshua took over from Moses. So God guides through circumstances. He guides through the scriptures, and he also guides through inner conviction, the sense that this is what the Lord is calling me, this decision to take. This is what he is showing me. The danger, of course, is that with some inner conviction that we get some idea in our own heads, some bias that we have, or such as some notion, and then we expect God to confirm it. But if we're praying and we're being guided by Scripture, and if we have circumstances and this inner conviction that this is the right thing to do, then with that inner conviction, Paul, you see what I read at the beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul didn't have the inner conviction. I still had no peace of mind, says verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 2. So because I did not find a peace of mind, no inner conviction, I didn't go through that open door. So we need to be careful when we have some notion in our heads. Sometimes you hear, for example, of a professing Christian embarking on an extramarital affair, and they'll even tell you that the Lord led them into that. The Lord doesn't lead you into anything against his will, even though you might think it's the right thing. He never goes against his word, and he will never guide you to do something against that word. That was Jonah's mistake, wasn't it? Jonah was told, go east, and Jonah went west. And it must have been lovely for Jonah when he went down to the harbor, and there was the ship sitting that's going to go west. The wind was blowing in the right direction. Everything looked perfectly aligned to go west when he was supposed to be going east. The ship sailed out of the harbor, and things were going great, but then came the storm. And God dragged him back to where he really should be, because for Jonah, it had all been about Jonah and not about the Lord. And an inner conviction is necessary, but we've got to be careful that it's lined up with